the 92nd Psalm, and could we draw your attention to the first part of the 12th verse, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. In these words, our attention is drawn to the palm tree. In ancient times, they were so numerous that both the Romans and the Greeks referred to Palestine as the land of palms. While it is mentioned less frequently in the scripture than the olive or the fig tree, nevertheless, it appears in some 15 different books. It has also lent its name to many individuals and places. For example, Jericho was known as the city of palms, and the name Tamar means palm. Again, Phoenicia, which is mentioned twice in the New Testament, also takes its name because of its palms. In fact, it is first mentioned away back in the book of Exodus. The children of Israel crossing over the Red Sea, they came to Elim. As well as finding 12 wells of water, they found shelter beneath its 70 palms. Again, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Jews celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, they leaving their homes, they went out into the hillsides. There they dwelt in booths or tents weaved out of the branches of palms, producing dates, its fruit, its sap, and its branches met almost all of the needs of the people. And taking up this image and using it to describe those who had been made righteous through the righteousness of Christ, the psalmist said they would flourish as the palm. That little word flourish there simply means to spread or to grow. In other words, he said that they would spread or they would grow as the palm tree. And like the palm, the child of God is not to be stagnant, but stretching, ever growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, Peter, writing unto the Jews who had been scattered abroad, he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Having earlier commanded them to add to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, he was here demanding a continual growth. And you see, the Christian life is one of continual progress. It doesn't matter how long we have been on the Christian path. It doesn't matter how strong we have become or how much we have become like Christ. We're never to be satisfied, but we're always to be growing, seeking to be holier, seeking to be stronger in the faith, seeking to be more like the Savior. You know, when a person is chosen to represent their country in the Olympic Games, it is usually because they are the best in their particular field or in their particular sport in that country. And although that person goes away and comes home with the gold medal, yet seldom do they ever give up or seldom do they ever retire. They're always training. They're always stretching. They're always seeking to break their own record. And in the Christian life, we are never to become stagnant. We're never to become satisfied. We're always seeking to be growing in the faith and in the knowledge of the Savior. Oh, child of God, like the palm tree, continue to grow. Continue to become more like the Savior. And I wonder this morning, as you stop and you think about your Christian life, can you say today that you're growing like the palm tree? That in the past year there has been growth in the faith. That in the past year that you've become more holy. Become even more knowledgeable concerning the Savior. Like the palm tree, we're always, always to be growing, stretching forward. And so I want for a few minutes this morning to draw your attention to the palm tree as a picture of the Christian. I want you to notice firstly there the significance of the palm, as well as being viewed by some as being sacred. Its image was used extensively on Jewish coinage. In fact, it was carved into the walls of Solomon's temple. But notice here the permanence it possesses. Setting forth their character, he said in the verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm is an extremely unusual tree. Unlike most others whose center is dead, its center is alive. The sap passing through its center rather than through its bark, it is less vulnerable to outside attack. While the burning heat may scorch it, and the beasts of the field may combine with man to injure its bark, it continues to thrive. Even the wind can't destroy it. Let the winds blow, let the storms lash, and it simply bends over, and then it straightens up again. Unlike other trees, its branches were no good for the fire. They didn't burn. And you see, like the palm, the child of God or the righteous are indestructible. Satan may come and Satan may bend us, but you know he can't break us, nor can he burn us. Indeed, writing unto the Romans, Paul asked them in the 8th chapter a series of questions. Being saved and the Lord being with them, he asked them in the verse 31, who could be against them? Verse 33, who could lay any charge against them? Verse 34, who could condemn them? And then in verse 35, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And Paul was not saying that these things wouldn't happen to them, because they happened to the Apostle Paul. He was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was imprisoned on many occasions. But the point that he was making here was that none of these things could separate them from the love of Christ. And you know why that 8th chapter commences with no condemnation? It ends with no separation. You see, not only does the Lord promise to keep his people, but he keeps his promise. And as a consequence, the glory is more certain for the believer than even the grave. You know, some years ago, Lee Harvey Oswald shot John F. Kennedy in Dallas, in Texas. Sometime after that, he was arrested and charged with his assassination. However, Oswald himself was then assassinated. And being killed, the case did not proceed. It ended. There was no more prosecution. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, having taken our sin and died in our place, there is no more prosecution. Yes, the devil may batter us, and the devil may bruise us, and the devil may bend us. But believer, he can never break us, and he can never burn us. Maybe today you're going through a difficult time in your life. The storms are raging. And perhaps you feel this morning that you are at breaking point. Oh, child of God, take heart like the palm. You're indestructible. The devil can attack you, but he can't destroy you. He can't separate you from the love of Christ. But not only the permanence it possesses, but you notice also there the power it possesses. Growing tall, we read in the verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Down through the centuries, the palm has often been associated with victory. Taking its branches, the crowd used to wave them before the returning conqueror. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ entering into the city of Jerusalem, the people breaking down its branches, they threw them down before him. In the book of the Revelation, the writer there describing those who had overcome great tribulation. He described them as carrying palm branches in their hands. The palm speaks to us of victory. And you see, at the cross, not only were we made clean, but we were made conquerors. There is no power that we can overcome. Indeed, writing unto the Philippians, Paul said in Philippians 4 in the verse, my 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The word strengtheneth there simply means to enable. In other words, he was saying Christ enabling them, there was no power, there was no person, there was nothing that they couldn't overcome. You see, child of God, in Christ, we are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. There is no habit. There is no power. There is no lust that we can't overcome. I'm sure sometime or another you have planted a little tree in your garden. And just to stop it being battered by the wind, you've driven a stake down beside it and you've put a little band or a little bit of wire around the board. And maybe you forgot to take the piece of wire off. What happens? Now the tree grows and it simply grows around the piece of wire until the wire completely becomes invisible. While you can no longer see the piece of wire, yet it leaves a weakness there. Let the winds begin to blow. Let the storms begin to lash and the tree will break or snap at that point. But you know, unlike most other trees, the palm tree, rather than growing around the piece of wire, it simply snaps it, breaks it in pieces. And you know, in Christ, there is no power, there is no sin that we can't overcome. I'm sure sometime or another you've thrown a ball up into the air. And you know, it doesn't really matter how high you throw the ball, it'll eventually come back down to the ground. An aeroplane weighs hundreds, thousands times heavier than a football. And yet the pilot, by pulling back the throttle, the plane not only rises up into the air, but it remains in the air. It breaks the power of gravity. And you know, you're a child of God this morning, and if you're honest, you have to admit that there is that, as it were, gravity within you, that old man that's constantly pulling you down. But I want to tell you, child of God, you can overcome. I want to tell you, child of God, you can have the victory. You say, but how come that Christians so often are overcome? My friend, the reason we're overcome is not because we need to be overcome. It's often because we choose to be overcome. We are victors today. You don't need to live in bondage to that habit. You don't need to live in bondage to that sin. The victory is ours. Oh, today, are you living in that victory? Snapping those things that would seek to bind. But you notice also there the purity it possesses. Drawing them back again to nature, he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree, my, grows upwards, and more than that, it grows straight. Its slender stem often stretches 40 and even 80 feet up into the heavens. Even its very branches are straight. In other words, he was saying they were made righteous. Why? So that they might grow upright or straight like the palm. You see, as well as being righteous in the Lord, we are to be righteous in our lives. Upright. Straight. In all we do. You remember the Apostle Peter in writing unto the Jews that were scattered abroad. He said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you notice there that the standard of holiness was not some carnal Christian living down the road. It was the Lord. More than that, it was to extend into every part of their lives. You see, holiness ought to be the everyday business of every Christian. Or to be straight, upright in all of our doings. You know, the great evangelist Billy Sunday, on one occasion speaking about sin, he said, I kick it as long as I've got a foot. I fight it as long as I've got a fist. I bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And he said, when I'm old and I'm footless and I'm fistless, he said, I'll gum it until I get to glory. And child of God, there must be that fighting of sin. There must be that straightness, that uprightness in our lives. Oh, today are you growing like the palm? Are you overcoming those habits? Are you overcoming those things that bound you? Living in the victory. Straight, upright in all that you do. But not only do we notice here the significance of the palm, but we notice also the season of the palm. Growing upwards, a single palm produced between 300 and 600 pounds of dates every year, as well as being packed with nutrition and iron. Its branches were used for roofing and fencing. Its fibers were weaved into ropes, and its trunk was used to support beams. One commentator tells us that the palm had over 360 different uses. It was useful. But I want you to notice here that it was useful, yes, but it was useful in the dry plains of life. They were to grow not merely as the cedars of Lebanon, but he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree grows where no other tree grows. It takes no notice of its environment or of the weather. Although there's been no rain for many months and the wind is howling and the sun is scorching down, it's still a picture of health. I'm sure sometime or another you've been on holiday in Europe, or maybe you've been on holiday in the East, and you've been driving along the road and you've looked out the window and you thought to yourself, how could anything ever grow in this barren, dead landscape? And then you've looked up and there was a palm tree laden down with dates. You see, it grows in the most adverse conditions. You see, as well as being fruitful in the happy times, we're to be fruitful in the hostile times, bringing forth fruit in spite of our surroundings. I often think of Enoch, and Enoch lived in a day of wickedness. The thoughts of those around him were only and continually evil. And yet we read in Genesis chapter 5 and the verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And despite the deadness, the barrenness of the landscape, he was still walking with God, still in communion, still bearing fruit. You see, as well as producing fruits in the summers of life, we are to be producing fruit in the winters of life, to be useful, even when everything seems to be against us. You know, some Christians, and when the sun is shining and all is going well, they're full of zeal and they're full of energy. Now they're there at your back and they're encouraging you to go on and to go through with God. They're shouting hallelujah. But then the winter comes, and the barren time comes. And I want to tell you, child of God, God allows the barren times to come to every church. He allows it to come just to try the mettle of the people of God. And sometimes when the barren time comes, the hallelujahs get less and less. And then they're not at the prayer meeting. And then they're not there on a Sunday night. And they disappear. You see, we're not to be deciduous Christians, but evergreen Christians, always producing fruit, always laboring for Christ, even when it's hard to do so, and things are against us. Oh, believer, how do you do in the hard times? How do you do for Christ when the storms are raging, and your back is, as it were, against the wall? Are you still useful? Are you still serving? Are you still laboring? The palm flourished in the most barren places. May God make us like that. That when all is barren and all is dead, that we're still fruitful. Not only was it useful in the dry plains of life, but it was also useful in the declining periods of life. Describing their lives, he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm seed normally takes 4 to 5 months to germinate. Springing up, it does not produce fruit until its 8th year. Then becoming fruitful and producing massive clusters up to 1,000 dates. It continues to produce fruit for well over a century. In fact, the older it becomes and the more scarred it becomes, the sweeter its fruit becomes. You see, we're never to lose our fruitfulness for Christ. Rather than decreasing, it is to be increasing with the passing of years. Indeed, emphasizing that, he said there in the verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You see, in the life of grace, there is neither rest nor retirement. We're to be getting more fruitful as the years go by. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, the great evangelist, when he was 86 years of age, he was still preaching every single day. A recent survey done amongst 400 of the world's most famous or successful people discovered that 35% of their greatest achievements were accomplished in their 60s. 23% in their 70s. 8% in their 80s. In other words, 66% of their greatest achievements were after the age of retirement. How often people come to you and they say, well, you know, I've done my part. I want to tell you, my friend, when you have done your part, you'll not be here to tell anybody. Because when you have done your part, the Lord will take you home to be with Him. True, you may not be able to do the things you used to do, but you can still be useful. You can still be serving the Lord. Oh, today, are you serving Him? Are you fruitful? Can you say today, I'm more fruitful today than I've ever been in my life? The more scarred and battered the old tree got, the more sweeter was its fruit. My friend, are you bearing fruit? It was useful in the dry periods of life, the declining periods of life, also in the desolate places of life. The palm tree was a sure sign of water. In Exodus 15, the children of Israel running to the palm trees, they got the water. The palm tree standing up, standing out, it would draw the people to the water. And child of God, we're not only to be standing up for Christ, we're to be standing out for Christ. We're to be drawing people to the water of life. Oh, today is your life such that it makes men thirsty? Is the peace of God so evident, the joy of God so evident in your life that it's drawing men to Christ? That it's drawing them to the water of life? Are you useful? 360 different ways the palm tree was useful. I can't serve the Lord the way you could serve. And vice versa. But my friend, there's a way for every one of us to serve. Are you useful to the Lord? Are you bearing fruit for the Savior? Not only the significance of the palm and the season of the palm, but there was the secret of the palm. Rather than latching onto another tree, I want you just for a minute to notice the roots it sings. The date palm does not have a trap root, but rather it has thousands of little rootlets. They're no thicker than the human finger, burrowing down deep into secret springs hidden in the depths of the earth. It flourished. And you see, it's only as we drink of that water of life that we are unable to develop. Without that supply, our growth becomes stunted. The hymn writer said, I'm drinking at the fountainhead. Oh, child of God, are you drinking at the fountainhead? Have you put, as it were, those roots down deep into the Word of God? Every day do you spend time with the book and communion with Christ? It's only as we put down those deep roots that we're enabled to grow. Not only the roots it sinks, there's the region it seeks. Palm trees always grow in clusters. You know, when the children of Israel came to Elim, there were 70 palms growing together, multiplying. They tell us today that there at Elim, there are over 2,000 palms. You see, as well as feasting on the Savior, there needs to be a fellowshipping with the saints, a growing together. Writing unto the Hebrew converts, Paul said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And he warned them that difficult days were coming. Things were going to get hard, and that they were not to be overcome. There needed to be fellowship. There needed to be a gathering together. My, how often we have seen young people go astray. You know why? They got into the wrong company. And it's the same with a Christian. My friend, if we're to grow, if we're to flourish, we not only need to have our roots down into the book, but we need the fellowship together. There needs to be that bond one with another. And then, of course, there was the refuge it supplies. Coming to Elim, the children of Israel, resting beneath the branches of the palms, they found shelter and shade. And you see, we are to be branches to our brethren, refreshing them in the heat of the battle. Often think of Paul and what he said of Onesimus. He said, he oft refreshed me. And we're to be palm trees to those that are in the battle. We're to be palm trees to those that are weak, encouraging them, sheltering them in the time. You know, there's some Christians, and when you see them coming, you just wish you could be invisible. Or you wish you could dig a big hole in the ground and jump in and cover it. Because if you were downcast and discouraged before you met them, by the time they're finished talking to you, you'll be really, really discouraged. But that's not what we're to be. We're to be shades to our brethren. We're to be a help to the weak. Sheltering even those that are in the heat of the battle. My friend, being made righteous, we're to flourish as the path. Are you growing today? Can you say today, yes, this world is barren. It's getting more barren. You even heard the announcements of the change in the law. And my society is going down. It's getting harder. It's getting drier. It's getting more barren. But my friend, we're to be like the palm tree. Standing out. Roots into Christ. Growing. Flourishing. Bringing forth much fruit. May God enable us to flourish and to spread and to grow. And may God even bless you as a congregation. And in the days that lie ahead, that this congregation will continue to flourish and to spread even as the palm tree. Amen.
Let us unite together in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, for Thy voice speaking to us today. We pray that we will be as the palm tree that has been considered before us. Make us to be fruitful. Make us to be a blessing to others. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.